This podcast is part of the Shareable Podcast Network. Learn more at shareable.fm. You are now listening to the Heroic Council.
Hello and welcome to the Heroic Council podcast. Today I'm here with Quincy Xavier. The rest of the team could not be with us today. But today we're going to have a great conversation regarding art, business, and web design. I hope you guys are ready. And let's get started. Jeff Gibbert's not here in person, but he's still with us in spirit.
He always is. And Jeff, we trust.
Yeah. So how are you doing today, Q? Quincy?
I am... Today is quite a beautiful day. I am doing something like splendid wrapped in incredible. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Something like, yeah.
Like incredible wrapped in splendid. So it'll be a nice compliment. So for those of you who don't know, Q is a friend of the podcast. He's in brand strategy, project manager. He's a producer and a poet. So today we're going to be getting into a little bit of everything. So Q, in general, what's going on in your world right now?
In general, my world is working on creative projects, producing, working foundational with poetry. I run a few kind of global or international discussion and reading groups around books, around particular books and texts, and kind of like layering them on top of one another and letting them play with one another, rather than just doing a rote way of doing things.
Yeah.
But yeah, just in general, just a lot of work around language, what we say, what we mean when we say. Sounds more like communication, but it kind of gets into a little bit more in the language world. And I picked up some great poetry before I went to go away this weekend. So I'm like, really, that's what's, and of course, yeah. Oh my goodness. I was on the flight and I was just, I wanted to turn to the person next to me and be like, hey, but you got your mask on. So you can't just, you know,
yeah.
And it's, but like, you gotta read this. This is amazing. And it's just that kind of, is that kind of environment right now. Everything's so tense that there's just these moments for something truly beautiful to emerge.
So you've been writing for, how long have you been writing for? Because I know I've been seeing your published works probably for about, I'm going to say 2 years, but it's probably longer than that. how long have you been writing for?
Well, I mean, writing, I started, you know, writing for like poetry. I've been writing since I saw somebody that I thought was attractive, and I was like head over heels, and I didn't know how to express myself. Right. Now it's like, I've always been writing in that way. And a couple people have, when I was in high school, I had one person kind of say like, hey, you know, it seems as though you're writing in this way, and kind of took particular note. And that was nice. And that kind of spurred me on, but I really got into my writing spur after probably in my early 30s. So I'd probably say about a little bit less than a decade, I've been like writing, like really, like for the purposes of getting something out. I was reading this autobiography of Thelonious Monk by Robin Kelly, and Thelonious talks about just getting the music out. Right. And there comes this moment where there's something that you just have to get out. Some people dance, some people sing, some people do whatever they do. For me, it was words, and poetry just fell in.
So I've gotten the opportunity. Well, I mean, we first met working on a project because we were working on creative for a fitness project that we were doing together. And we were making a lot of fitness videos, and that was actually how I got my start in video production, because I had been doing photography for a while, and I had hinted to somebody that I was interested in jumping into video, and they made you as a contact, and you had a project you were working on, and then so I went to school for film, but I hadn't really touched a camera since I graduated, so that was like a good opportunity. And then shortly after, you know what I mean, through a couple connections I met through you. You know what I mean? I jumped in, and the video pretty much took over my work for several years.
Now Story Maker Design. I remember.
That's right.
That's right. That was a long time ago. Yes. I still have some of those videos. I was looking at them the other day where we had the light buzzing from the overhead fluorescence.
Yeah.
We just said, what if this was just the backing track? And it was amazing.
Yeah. Those videos still look good to this day.
Right. Yeah. Something about it. And the thing is like, there's some old VHS video when you watch it, it's still like, there's something that's like, capturing or resonant about that moment in film and about recording that makes it timeless. It's okay. Yeah. Like, it's like watching, in the 70s on, not on being there, the movie Being There. When you're watching this, it just like, it just lives in that moment. And so like, there's something about that Jumping Squad video just like lives in that moment. It's great.
Do you know what that Apple TV show is on like, this jazzercise movement in the 70s?
Mm.
Or it's not,
in the early 80s. It's called Physical.
Physical, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's what makes you think of.
And they're flirting with that line too, with the way in which they've done the color palette and the saturation. Yeah. It's just, it like, it pulls you in, but it's the way they play around with using like the HD, so that way it feels like you're looking through today's lens, but it still feels like then. It's great.
Yeah, that like 80s color palette has really made a comeback. Especially because, you know, with the, everybody loves the purple and the blue, or the pink and the blue, you know, gradient. I don't think I did this on purpose, but that's the entire color scheme on my website now.
I love purple, so we can do that all day. But
so I was gonna say, I wanted to talk to you today a little bit about the work we had done, but I know because I knew you prior to this project mostly from the work that we had done together and just our friendship in general.
Yeah.
I followed, I followed your social channels. So I saw the work that you were posting, and, you know, read it, but I hadn't gotten really into the work that you were doing. And, when you came to me, cause you were looking to build like two web platforms eventually, but one to start. And then you were here deciding, are you working on your business web platform? Or are you working on your platform for your art? And I think at the time you were still trying to pull apart, like whether they were the same thing or something different. Can you tell me a little bit about the headspace you were in when you initially like were like, I need to do something, I need to publish this stuff somewhere?
Man, Tim, that's a great question, because I remember during that time it was, you know, really about where, you know, if my work is, you know, if I'm fundamentally showing up professionally as a strategist that deploys as a project manager or deploys as a producer, which is like a project manager with creative piece with, you know, doing, getting involved creatively. I find that a lot of things that stimulate the entire process or that work with creatives specifically is art. And so, one of the things I was finding was like, I was producing and creating more work. I'd gotten out of this, like I'd been in this place where I was producing and writing a lot and creating a lot of art. And I was trying to decide if I wanted the art to show up dominantly in my work, professionally, even though a lot of it came from a particularly often raw place, and genuine place. I like the distinction between genuine and authentic. And so I wanted to see that. So like, it was like, am I doing the art that influences the creative projects? Am I doing the creative projects and leaving them separate? Am I creating three entities that do like one part and then like a midway point and then the other one? And I'm using social media as that midway point between the three projects. And I mean, it ended up being that, where it's, I decided to change my Instagram handle to Substantive Material. I then went to, and not that as a brand name, if, as we well know, you know, by virtue of kind of the creative directors I've worked with, particularly Shuva Featherstone, Mamo, she has this thing about names coming last. And then of course I took that in my brain and just was like, oh my goodness, it's there when you sign on the line that is dot for your kid, right? When you have a baby, you have all these names in your head about, is it going to be Stephanie? Is it going to be Judith? Is it going to be Steve? Is it going to be that, you know, Philip, all the rest of these things, right? You're going through all the names, all the little like names or whatever. And you're just like, we agree that it's going to, that this child is going to be named Rebecca. Comes out and you're like, Ruth.
Yeah.
That baby is a Ruth.
You know, I have my notes here from our first conversation on, the headline. I don't remember if I can swear on here or not. It just says Q needs a place for Q shit. And that was the introduction to our conversation. And then the rest of my notes are just trying to flesh out what that phrase meant.
Exactly.
We have like a lot of ideas down here. Like we had talked about, like whether it was going to be a storefront, whether we knew for a fact, I think that like you needed a, like, I have something here that says poetry extemporaneous.
Oh, that's just because I do. Oh, so my poetry, you know, I have some of my performance poetry or performance work is extemporaneous monologues. So I was like, I wanted a gallery to hold those, because once, if they're not recorded, once they're done, they're done. That's it. There's no sheet for me to go back to and read again. There's no anything. And I can redo that piece, but it's going to be different tomorrow night. Anywho.
Yeah.
So I wanted a place for that. But I think one of the things that was kind of putting myself through my own process on the brand strategy side was like, I have these things that are here, and which one do I use my resources to develop and to grow, and which one do I need to expend the least amount of resource to grow and develop, right? And so all three of these things, I'm always going to be posting on social. I'm always going to be creating art. I'm always going to be working in some sort of strategic or project-based position on a project. So I needed a way to marshal those resources in an appropriate way. And I think looking at a landing page became like, okay, this is what I want to spend my time on. I have another resource that I'm working with on helping me think through the research behind all of this. And that was, I think, Douglas O'Brien Hayes was helping me out with fleshing part of that out. And so you came in at the ask for you was one of like, okay, we know we need to, and you were great about really working specifically on the art, and really great about like making sure that those links worked well, and that you were seeing, like, even before it's like a vision, like what the glimmer of the light looks like. And so I think that's where I felt most comfortable with working with you on this.
Yeah. Cause when we started, like, it was like you knew deep down what this project was, but, in like a very like ethereal kind of way.
Yeah.
But like the actual like nuts and bolts of it and what it was actually going to like physically communicate was kind of like not straightened out yet. Because some things that we knew that were important is you wanted to give people an opportunity to schedule a conversation. Like that was one of the main things. You knew you were looking to build a new newsletter.
Correct.
You knew you were looking to build a newsletter, and that's something that we're still kind of working on, like as far as like the, or you're still kind of working on as far as like deciding like on platform and exactly what kind of content that's going to go in and stuff like that. So the landing page was like, we needed just a start, and we needed to give people like a place to like be like, oh, something's coming. Here's a little taste of what's coming. And by the way, you can follow. And that's kind of like where the initial page started. And then we worked through, just because as far as visual identity was concerned, like we hadn't really gone through any, I don't think you had gone through any formal like branding exercises or visual identity exercises at that point.
No, specifically, one of the things I was staying away from, back to the naming conversation, right? I was staying away from actually the theme of the project was substantive material, right?
Yes.
And so even now, where we are now, because there isn't anything technically for sale right now, right? The e-commerce portion is set up. And also there's, once we get through the newsletter, I'll have things that are being delivered to people. So that way I can then start talking to my audience about what this means to them, like what substantive material, what these things that are coming out means to them. I think a really good case study for that is the Project Europa Monocle Magazine case study underneath the Tyler Brulé. If you get a chance to like look at the formation of Monocle Magazine as a media entity,
We'll put this information in the show.
Yeah. So it's like, it's really interesting that way. I think when you're talking about the newsletter, like as we're doing the landing page, it's like, how do I make a space so that way people can see the poetry that's going on. They can see the video editing, the scoring, the kind of the interdisciplinary arts and the curatorial arts that are taking place as well. And then at the same time, if this stimulates any type of conversation, this is fundamentally language poetry. So that means the audience is involved in the creation of the meaning of the work. Kind of like, you know, we know a Rorschach, everybody sees butterfly, or they see two dogs and a, you know, in a red wagon. That meaning that gets conjured is very important to the process. So it's like, how do we have that as a space where people can even just play around with it, right? Just even get there and be like, I don't really like this. Or they get there and I got to read this a couple times. Just whatever people do, just let them do it. Now, if they want to,
that's kind of, I mean, and that's kind of an interesting piece because, like, you know, I felt like working with you on this project was very different than like what I would do for a typical client. Like in some ways it's like, okay, like certain things need to communicate really well, but other things, like your work isn't for, I don't want to say it's not for everybody. I want to say the word, like, you have to want to dig into something in order to really like get the maximum that you can out of the work that you do. So in general, it's like not everybody is into, you know, fictional dense novels, but the people who do find them really, really rewarding. In the same way, a lot of Q's work, you really need to like absorb them, tear them apart, put them back together, and like, and it's kind of like get the value out of them that you're looking for. So your work isn't necessarily like isn't going to be for everybody on everything. At least your artwork is concerned. So that brings an interesting challenge on the design side, because generally what I'm trying to do is make these things as easy and simple for people to get what they want and then upsell them when you can, you know what I mean? As possible, you know what I mean? We're on this, it required kind of like just an acceptance that's not the experience that everybody's going to get. And the people who are going to land and find your work and enjoy it are not coming on the website and the same laws of physics don't apply to them that would over most business sites. You know what I mean?
I think you're right. Right. You're having a conversation about like social psychology, right? So you're having, like, I think in one sense, right, this is a testament to process. And that is to say, part of what undergirds a creative, even a strategist, right, is kind of this body of work that they're always pulling from. And so in one sense, I'm from that body of work that I read, that I watch, that I listen to, right? The thing that gets made from that is this poetry, these works, right? The video, the film, the scoring, all the rest of those things, these get created from that. And from all of this work, to some folks, they're like, this reads so, oh my goodness, I just, and other people are like, I don't even know what's happening. From that, that crosses over into taking very, very complex processes and simplifying them. We can't make them easy, but we can make them simple. And we can make them actionable, and we can get ourselves towards a goal line that makes sense. And if there is a global pandemic, we can make sure that these things get done, not in spite of, but because of the constraints and the complications that are ahead of us, right? And I think those things come because, for me personally, like, it's something that's fundamental in a formation of how I show up for who I am.
Well, and just out of curiosity, because I've heard people talk about poetry a lot of different ways, but like in general,
and poetry, they should,
absolutely. but in general, like, poetry is like, it's not like you can read English language your entire life and then look at poetry and not have an immediate sense of how am I supposed to interpret this? So like a lot of times, like, poetry is in general learned language. And there are even almost kind of like several languages within it. I'm probably not articulating this super well because I'm not, but I do know I've been speaking English my entire life and I've been reading books my entire life. And then I can read a piece of poetry and be like, I have no idea what this is about. And I need to go and have somebody explain it to me what it's about. And then the more poetry I read, the more I understand, you know what I mean? It seems to like, I can start to pick it apart myself after a while. So it seems like there's almost like a, like it's a different language. We're using the same words, but like how you read it and how you interpret it is like a learned skill that's separate from just like, let's say hypothetically reading a narrative book or reading a nonfiction or a newspaper magazine or something like that.
I think I appreciate you for sharing that's very, like that position is very vulnerable because I think there's a moment there where it's what we do with the I don't know, right?
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know what this yeah, is supposed good. To yeah. mean, right? I don't know yeah. what this is supposed to mean. So what do we, yeah. so what happens with that, right? That sensation, right? Of just intense, there's a shooting there. There's a social shooting, right? Like wagging finger society, right? Of like, this needs to mean something. So then you're like, yes, this doesn't mean anything, right? So like you're like immediately the anxiety, like the social anxiety of like not like I don't know, what do you do with that is immediately present in poetry often. And so I find once people figure out a machine or a mechanism for dealing with that, for reckoning with that, for playing with that even, right? I should say, for reckoning with that, they can begin to play with it. And you talk about deconstructing, reconstructing, putting all that. Yeah. Yeah. Because like, well, did they, because you start asking questions. Well, did they mean this?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so these are questions on the brand side where it's like that we want to know the questions they're going to ask and have answers for every single one of them. And then when we don't, there's reasons why. And there's a promise and commitment that that's worth it. Right. And there's all these things that art doesn't do. Right. And so like, that's not doing that over there. So like, there's a freedom and an ability to just like, not only have the structure of like the grammars of English and how our sentences are constructed, but there's also the freedom to break them completely.
So I think I could, and do you mind if I share my screen real quick?
You do what you need to do, my man.
All right. Cause I think this is a good illustration of this is like when I was initially, designing this, like what I imagined it might look like versus how it actually came out. What can you see on screen? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. All right. So, for instance, these were the initial like three, like mock-up ideas that I kind of sent to you. Mm-hmm. They were all black and white. So we were just doing the lo-fi mock-ups. And so here are some ideas I had that I played around in. And like, you can see that like, you know, based on what we'll show you a little bit later, like my ideas of, for instance, just the formatting of what your paragraphs might look like, you know what I mean? Like your website doesn't look anything like this because that's not how, you know what I mean? Your work is formatted at all. Mm-hmm. It's not formatted in paragraphs. At some point you might do some long form essays, but at the moment that's not at all what's there. So we had like a few different like concepts that we had put together. And so I'm still working off the idea that, you know what I mean? Like when something's written, it's going to kind of look like this. Mm-hmm. And then we eventually settled on this last one right here. And then we kind of like fleshed out a few like different color ideas. And then we kind of like went from there. But I just wanted to show that real quick, just because, and at some point, like, we'll have to have you back on when the current iteration is done.
Because ain't like, process beautiful though?
Yeah.
There's something there's something particularly and like deliciously beautiful about process.
Yeah.
And it gets missed because we always see the final product and you're like product and we're like, I wouldn't have gone that way. Like, right. I can't stand the last Star Wars, but if I watch the behind the scenes on the making of it, I'm probably going to love that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna love that.
Hey, I'm not gonna get political, okay?
I do. Ooh.
I don't disagree with you, but we can
No, it's fine. Dune is coming up. So I'm very excited. And I've been watching the process of Dune emerge of being, and it's just, you know, there's an artist, Esperanza Spalding. She did a project that's called, I believe it's 72 or 77 hours, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And so what she turns on Facebook Live, and for those, for that period of time, she goes through the making of the writing of the music, the brainstorming of the everything that goes into making the music, and make, and whatever happens at the end of that, that's the CD that gets pressed out, and that's it. And so everybody, you know, you're like, why would she do that? Because the art is the 77 hours. That's the process.
Like, how you arrive at that.
That's the beautiful part. That's the part I want to see over and over again. Like, I can listen to the end work, but I want to see how we got here.
And I feel like I've mentioned this on this podcast before in different iterations, but like, initially when I'm starting a new project, like the, and this is like super cliche, but it's super true. You know, like there's nothing more intimidating than like the white page in the beginning of the project. You know what I mean? Just a blank white page. And for me, like everything starts super slow. Like I'm like picking at this here, and I'll try this. And I'm like, I hate it. And then like the first, let's say I'm working on a project in the first week, like I have a really hard time like coming up with anything. And I need to be like, I can only work on this for 20 minutes because then I just like get depressed and then I need to do something else. And then like after the pieces start coming together, like I start like, I can start to see something forming and like something like, oh, this looks like an actual thing. Then I get energy behind it, and then it's easier for me to dive into it and kind of get into a flow state with it. That's something that happens to me all the time with video production too. For instance, like I'm going to shoot, like going to a 3-day shoot later today, and I come back and all I have is a ton of raw footage. And generally, like when I get back, I look at the footage, and then I get like this like sinking feeling in my stomach, like oh, this was horrible. And then it's hard for me to edit for the first few days because everything just looks like trash to me. You know what I mean? And then I start like massaging it and playing with it and then moving things around. And then like eventually like the timeline starts to look like something. And I'm like, okay, this I might be able to do something here. And then like by the end of it, like I'm just like haven't looked at the clock for like 8 hours and I'm just like fine tuning things and cleaning things up. And that's something that like I think I'm getting better at that initial phase of just like getting stuck in the beginning and just like being because I think a lot of that is just fear, you know what I mean? Like fear that this thing is going to be bad, right? Like fear that it's just going to come out. Yeah, sorry, Jason.
No, the discomfort is part of it, right?
Yeah.
Like I hate being hungry.
Yeah,
I can't stand being hungry. But what do you mean? Because I must love being hungry because that means I get to eat.
Yeah.
Right? And I love eating. It's delicious.
And it's like the most great pleasurable taste in food. When you are hungry, right?
Yeah. You have great taste in your film, in your shots, in your edits, right? In what you choose to do. And the discomfort is like you're hungry for the story and where those things go. Your discomfort that like this is disgusting, this is gross, is because you're figuring out color palettes. You want to know if you want, do I want burritos tonight or do I want sushi, right? Yeah. Or do I just want to have pizza and just chill out? Like what do I, or do I want to go to a fine dining, right? Do I want to really, or do I want to cook for myself? Like how do I want this to feel like? And this is more of the creative conversation, right? And this is, and I feel like a lot of people, we have a tendency to take a lot of this for granted because it's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? We think it's just happening with film. There's a discomfort when people are going to do what they're best at.
Yeah. Well, redesigned my website this year, and it took me, I'm going to say I probably spent about 4 months on it. Not like I wasn't working on it every day for 4 months, but it was something that it was like an ongoing project for about 4 months. And Jeff Gibbard, our fearless leader, was
and Jeff we trust.
He was getting frustrated with the length of the process because Jeff is very good at just being like, I need to do a thing, and then just like, all right, it's up, it's done. And then me, and I think you're a little bit more like me, where it's more of a contemplated experience, and you're like, and you do a lot of research, and you kind of like, what's the terrain like for like personal portfolios these days? and then you spend like a good month just like looking around and just picking at things. Be like, I kind of like that. Kind of like that. And you're like, I like this, but is this really me? I don't know. And then you start putting it together. And then you're like, fuck, I hate this. I can't put this up. This is horrible. And where Jeff is just like, all right, I got to get some information up on a page. And he just like is able to just throw it up. And then like 3 months later, I'm still like, I need more graphics for this side right here. This isn't as communicating as well as it should be. And blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I'm really happy with the results. And I'm not convinced that at this point in my life, I could do it any other way. But sometimes having to deal with yourself for promoting yourself and creating your own work is more challenging than working for a client, just because like I don't know, like I'm way more self-conscious when it comes to myself than it is my client work.
I am learning to have I used to think it was a problem of publishing, and it's because I enjoy the discourse of refusal. And most folks avoid refusal, but I enjoy the conversation of, I don't like this. I don't dig this. And I feel like I feel like often in the times where, and Jeff has a different agreement with refusal, right? He has terms by which he's willing to engage refusal. And like, and so his relationship with that means like, they can have it out there, right? I want to know why you disagree. And I want to have like an actual conversation. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. No, there's reasons, and I want to know what those are. Why? Because part of the process that I go through involves that deliberation, and it requests the discomfort is the acceptance or refusal and the struggle between those two, and like that's what brings about my discomfort, right? And so that makes the process much lengthier because I can do that. I can do that without. I used to beat myself up all the time, like internally.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know, hit the publish button. You've heard me say it.
Yeah.
I just need to hit the I hit the publish button all the time. I do it on Instagram. Okay. I hit the publish button all the time. You know, I do it within my text messages. It's just because the engagement. And so I started looking at like what the reasons were behind it. And I think that's what's fundamental to like when you're digging into a process is like that's what makes the process beautiful is because you get a chance to like really dig into it and be like, what's going on here? Why aren't our customers saying yes to us? Why do our customers continually just look at our newsletters and don't engage with any of the content? Why are they interested in our blurbs? Our blurbs are great on our email messages, but the body of our content doesn't elicit any more engagement. And what we want is engagement. Like Q, when you ask me, Q, what do you want people to do? I'm like, I want these conversations. Whatever it takes to get them to the conversations, that's what I'm looking for, right? I want them to see the work and engage in conversations. However, the only stipulation that I have, and this is the part that makes it, of course, a challenge and makes it worthy of a creative response, is I don't want to solicit so much that thing. I want it to be available to them. So like, right?
Wait, you want the conversations to be available?
I want the option for the conversation right now to be available. Yeah. I don't want to promote or otherwise I don't want to use any, I'm not sure to use like a bunch of like tactics in order to drive that result here because it's on the art side. And so I don't want that. I know a lot of those mechanisms and how those things work. And I don't
want to do those. Yeah, yeah.
Part of the reason why I work firmly in brand a lot. And I don't usually do a lot of, cause I like the kind of work, but there's other things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Based on what we built so far and what we're building, like for Substantive Material, which by the way, I haven't brought up the name. Q's website is called substantivematerial.com. Yeah. At the moment, it's a landing page, but in the next few days/weeks, like it will be a multi-page website with in the home for a lot of Q's work for the time being. Sorry, go for it.
One of my favorite things to think about with this is just like it is like an accumulation of like creative and it's like accumulation of creative deeds. And like as it does so, it just grows exponentially. Like this, the first iteration was a landing page.
Yeah.
After you get done with this iteration, it'll have countless pages, right? Yeah. Well, it'll have a growing library of pages. And then as we go from there, it's like, well, the interface starts changing. And as we do that, as we start accumulating all of these different functions over here, right? There's an analysis that's taking place that allows me to say, oh, if I want to do different things and play around and be social, one of the reasons why I made the subtext for substantive material, a study in poetic sociality, is because I really am looking for that social conversation about.
Can you break that down a little bit for me?
So, and on the brand side, when doing strategic research, we all have focus groups. And what we'll do is we'll sit down and we'll have people watch a media or play around with the product or engage mm-hmm. with the process, the service design, and see kind of what their experiences are without knowing what's going on, with given certain instructions, with given no instructions. And we'll try to gauge those interactions, see what's more engaging, all the rest of those things. Why not? All that stuff. I think that comes from just going out with somebody that you met and you think they're interesting. So you ask questions about them and what's happening if I see somebody that I'm interested in and we actually out on a date, right? I'm going to ask them questions about, like, when they see, is that tree pretty to you? Yeah, that tree is quite pretty to me. Do you know what that tree is called? Actually, I don't. And that person does. Where'd you learn that from? And it's taking an interest in the work and in that person's mind. The work here on my art side is to take an interest in the audience, not just the work, but it take an interest in the audience.
So considering, because this is a good direction to go, just because, like, sure, something to keep in mind when we're fleshing this out more.
And this is what made like pulling them apart a different kind of labor. A different kind of work. It wasn't labor.
Just for context, I think what Q's referring to is when we initially were breaking out, like, what is substance material versus other things that Q was going to be working mm-hmm. on. So like right now, like, is there anything like how can we on the web design side be more helpful to your, like, audience?
Wow. That's a fantastic question. I think first, being a web design or design or UX UI design studio that asked that question.
Well, you know your audience better than anybody does so far. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I'm sure there's still for you a lot more to learn about, like, what's going on in your audience heads and what's making them tick. And then also just on like when we say audience, I don't even know if I'm totally just referring to, like, the people who regularly consume your content or like the potential people who might consume your content who are probably in, like, adjacent spaces to your work. Yeah. So, like, what are some things that might help your audience when they find your work, and what do you think? And also, like, what are areas that you legitimately want to help them in? What are areas that you might not want to help them in? You
know, in regards to when they,
so, I guess, yeah, the use of their website and also, like, consuming your content.
I think when it comes to, and I might be answering a different question, actually, I'm always mm-hmm. answering, everybody's answering different questions. So when people, I think a lot of folks, what they need is kind of like, I'm reading this book of poetry, Maroon Choreography. I was talking about it earlier, by Ifeoma Ife. And they are in the prefatory note, and it's a beautiful, much like Sadia Hartman's Wayward Lives of Beautiful Experiments, there is a note on method that is incredibly important. And I think one of the things that became incredibly important about this project, even when it was a landing page, was the, what is this project? And that is to say, to give people permission to read it, to enjoy it, to look forward to it, to do whatever it is that they need to do. But I think a lot of what it is when it comes to a space like this and what people need is a place to just feel safe to do whatever it is they're going to do. Say, like, I don't like this, or this is amazing and delicious and rich. You know, I was just having a conversation about an hour ago, and you know, another author was saying, you know, this is your response to this, not reaction, your response to this is testament to the fact that once the words are printed on the page or present on the screen, they've left the author's desire for what they're going to do. They're no longer within that purview. They're now doing another thing. And that thing is what they were intended to do to begin with. Or ought to be. Because man, it don't work out that way sometimes. Sometimes you're like, I've meant to say this. And
yeah,
they're looking at you like, that's not what I heard.
Yeah.
That's not what I read. You know? And
yeah.
On the arts, you know? Yeah.
Makes me think of, like all things, it makes me think of Dune, you know? Because, you know, a lot of people have a lot of different interpretations of that book. Every political philosophy claims it for their own. You know what I mean? So it's like, is this a pro-fascist, or is it neoliberal, or is it critiquing, white saviors? I don't know.
This demand to be a single thing, right? To be one punch man, right? There's only one punch man, right? That's it. So like everything else. So the way I answer this question, you already know how I answer this question, where I'm just like, the entirety of the science fiction universe takes place in the Dune universe of 34,000 years. So like all of it. It's kind of like that part in Rick and Morty where they're like, he's like, I didn't know there were snakes in space. Everything's in space.
Yeah.
And you're just like, and not there, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's all here somewhere. Yeah.
It's all in here.
Yeah.
It's all, you just got to look. You're just looking in the wrong portions. So I don't know. And it's just on the, and so for the website,
aliens. I'm enjoying,
I think I'm enjoying the most that conversation is taking place right now where people are like, we can't, that word doesn't even work. I just, and people are like, no, and people are fighting for it or fighting against it. And it's just like, I love that we're at this place that we're arguing over that thing. And not, you know, whatever. And I would say argue, I mean argue, I mean that in a gentle way, but I like the fact people are deliberating over it. And as we ought to, as we need to, because people coast.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is going into a different direction, a different tangent. So I'm hesitant to.
I think if you want to bring it back, I think one of the things that's very deliberate about this process and that makes it iterative in a way that pays attention to like agile methods and waterfall methods of project management or process management is that we sprint and then we deploy. There's a period of like we're actually able to engage and implement and do things where I take over for a little bit and then we come back. Go through that analysis together, see what we want to go, create, look at the available resources and then sprint again. And then
100%. I mean, like after when for instance, like with this website, after I pass it back to you and then you're able to upload all your work to it.
Yeah.
And then get it in front of people. And you know what I mean? Like, and what you get out of that will kind of elucidate the next stages. I mean, like, I already have some feelings on things like next steps after we're done with this current iteration. I have some thoughts on next steps, but they're based on nothing more than like, oh, I would have liked to do this. You know what I mean? Just because, like, it would feel visually satisfying to me, but that's not based on any, like, legitimate information we're collecting at this point.
So, I think you just touched on a very important thing I feel like it's important to the creative process. And I feel like one of the reasons why I like the Heroic Council and one of my favorite, X-Men or superheroes is Charles Xavier is because, like, we don't have to exhaust, and when we're working on brand and we're working on different projects, in order to get to brand, we kind of have to, and what brand is and how it interfaces and does what it does and all the rest of those things, we kind of have to exhaust our personal preferences. And part of what And part of what good art does is it does the good, and I don't want to say exhaust, actually, I apologize, fatigue, right? Because it's going to become more resilient over time, right? Our preference. Yeah. And they're going to become sufficiently durable and like my kind of like muscle fibers, they're going to grow and get stronger, right? This is what's good and this is what's bad. However, we kind of want to fatigue those a little bit so that way the what, which is who are we actually talking to? What conversation are we actually having? What are we trying to actually communicate? What promises and what engagements and what are we agreeing to as a brand with our audience, with our people, internal and external, our people, right? They're not just, they're people. So like, what are we trying to say? What's being communicated? And then from there, what would they, and so when you're coming back, when you're coming back and saying, I have a list of things that I would like to do, it's like, yes, totally. And I have a list of things that I want to do. And part of what we have to do is fatigue that a little bit to see like what is based upon our resources, what do we need to do? And that's part
of coming together
is and like making sure that we gather right and we gather well. We have, you know, we have, you know, this is probably the longest meeting we've had, right? Because like we meet like 20 minutes and it's just like, boom, let's just, and it's not because we're so regimented, you know, it's because we're doing the work of making sure to exhaust that preference or fatigue that preference is sufficiently enough to be aware and be ready for and alert for what the actual touch points are and what we need to do. So this is not necessary. This is necessary. This is a nice to have. Okay, great. This is what we'd like to see. I love this color palette. Like for instance, the color palette, you know, we already know that we're going to be evolving these things. So it's like giving us a little bit of room, buffer room to play and to like do different things. And we have, but that translates onto the, when doing client work of like, we need, you know, we're going to meet on this day. We're going to spend 40 minutes going over this. By the end of it, we're going to have this.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to do this. We're going to have this done in 2 days, or this is tighter deadline. We'll have this done this way.
Yeah. Right. So last question.
Sure.
What's something you're really into right now?
So we said Dune already. Okay.
Yeah.
We've already talked about some of the books that I've been reading, some of the books of poetry. So I think the thing I've been really like, goodness. I find myself like, torn between understanding like different like super like, oh my goodness, like, you know, you go through, you going through like understanding, I want to understand like the taxonomy, like the, like what happens in a social media hole, like how we actually go, how we actually get into it and how we actually stay down there for so long before we come up for air. And then when we come up for air, the feeling of like, I know Kung Fu, but you don't know Kung Fu at all. And actually everything you know about Kung Fu is really karate, right? And like, in a way in which I still say karate instead of karate, right? And all that shit. And so like, I'm like, that dumbfounds me because I've spent so much time going down rabbit holes in spaces that like, I have all the business, but then none of the business being in. But then at the same time, like, what's that feeling of like that thing? And then let's see, what else?
Waffles. Waffles are a good call.
They're delicious.
Yeah, no, I think I've talked to you a bit about this, and this is something that I've definitely tried to check myself on a lot lately, and because I feel like the one thing that's really ruining the world right now, a big thing that's like ruining the world right now is like just how easy it is to get intercept and it's like and internalize misinformation about stuff, you know what I mean? Because like generally when we're looking online, you know what I mean, like as we know, our online experiences are framed towards like specifically for us and what we want to hear or what fits what our perception of the world is. And so like we'll get headlines and maybe the article doesn't reflect the headline at all, but because we're probably not going to click the article to read the headline, or we'll see this meme and just accept that the information in this is true, or maybe it's kind of true, but like the lack of context or something like that. And then that just kind of like messes with your perception of what's actually happening. You know what I mean? So I've been working somewhat to make sure that I stop. I don't know. Like, I feel like we need to train kids how to like consume information. Like, I feel like that's
So like two things happen, right? Cause like the first thing is like, when you first hear, you did the same thing where it's just like, you almost want to go verify.
Yeah.
Right. So even you think that going to go verify is going to somehow like parachute you out of the rabbit hole before it starts. Cause I'm real smart. Right. I'm so smart. Like if I do this, if I just look up this string on Google, or on even, cause I'm real smart, I go to DuckDuckGo where they don't track me. I'm going to be alleviated from going down. It's not true. It does the exact opposite. I go further into it, and now I'm like going at lightning speed. And like when I'm going down it, I start to realize that like my information is your misinformation.
My information is your misinformation. Well, I think like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff on there, like a lot of information that I've consumed that I could get into details, but
yeah, sure.
Some of them are, I don't want to get like super hard on politics or anything like that. But like, for instance, with the COVID stuff, you know what I mean? Like a lot of the information that I've consumed, and like, I have a lot of people who have certain thoughts about COVID vaccines and stuff, and they send me information. And so like, a lot of this stuff is really quickly able to be like, you could figure it out. I'm sorry. I'm just dipping and dodging around the actual conversation.
The problem is like, you can talk about something particularly charged and like loaded up like that. Or you can talk about jellyfish or the origin of eels. Where do eels come from? Like, it involves the Bermuda Triangle, involves all these things. And you can spend all this time going in on it. And by the time you come out, I don't know that I know anything more about eels, but more a collection of stories about eels. And now I want to talk to people about it.
I think that's a good way to put it, because for instance, I can't because
there's some people who are like, we know where they come from. And it's just like, do we? When I was looking for it, I couldn't find it. And so
even that framing of like, we know where they come from. You know what I mean? Like, what I think the exact words you were looking for were, we think we have an idea of how they came about. Like, I think that's what
that's the response that I get, or that's the reaction I get when I'm like, I just want to talk. Like, I want to talk about this thing. And it's like those two things, like, that's why I'm like the whole taxonomy, like of a rabbit hole, because like, it's not just, I feel like once you get to the bottom of the rabbit hole or your perceived bottom, like coming out of it. And then of course what happens afterwards, that's just the momentum of like what is actually happening.
Yeah.
The conversations. Yeah. Oh, it's fascinating. And then also, you know, I already said Dune. Oh, Ted Lasso. I haven't finished the last episode. I watched Squid Game, of course, and I've watched all the video essays on Squid Game. So
I watched the first episode last night.
Okay, cool, cool, cool.
That was like one of those things where like there was so much hype around it.
Yeah,
I avoided it for a while because I was like, it's probably. And then I watched the first episode and I was like, that was a surprising. I didn't expect them to. It's not like you know what it's about, but at the same time, like the choices they make were surprising to me. You know what I mean?
I was lucky this time because a lot of times I'm in your position where I'm just like, I ain't watching this, too much hype. And then this time it had showed up on my Netflix queue, like right when it was being released. And I had like a day and a half of like just meandering around that I had to do, like just house stuff and like bills and administrative stuff. So I was like, okay, I put it on and it just took my whole everything. And of course I was like, Squid Game. And now, like, I'm just like, oh, yeah. And so, the anatomy of that, the anatomy, the taxonomy, the like, everything. Because it's wild. So, I like that.
I'm going to go into spoilers, so we should end the stream. But thank you. I'm sorry, Quince, thank you again for coming on. Hopefully when we have this website wrapped up, we can make a formal formal introduction of it to the world.
There is a book that is done by Fred Moten and Stefano Harney. All Incomplete. I don't know that this project on this side or on the art side will ever be complete. QuinceXavier.com, QXavier.com, the professional world, like going in-house, that will always go through fits of completion. Period.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I just threw misinformation out into the world. I need to walk that back. I'm sorry. I can't be on podcasts.
You are a wonderfully splendid human wrapped in incredible.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Yeah, no. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on Friday.
See you on Friday. Yeah. Absolute pleasure.
All right. Everybody, thank you for joining us today to the Heroic Podcast. You can find the Heroic Podcast on our YouTube page or where all podcasts are found. We will see you guys again next week at 2 p.m. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.